Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time. We're so thankful for our listeners. You may have noticed that we've been doing a series in the last 6 or 8 weeks that goes something like this. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. We have to also follow his teachings. That's why I think a lot of people, the problem with a lot of religious people are, they think all we have to do is believe in Jesus. We don't have to follow his teachings necessarily. They say, all you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to be saved. They don't say that obedience is necessary. Maybe they'll say obedience is a good thing, but you don't have to do it to actually please God to be saved. No, it's not enough just to believe in Jesus. We have to follow his teachings. When we don't follow his teachings, we have to repent. That's part of following his teachings, is when we fail to follow his teachings. When we sin, we have to repent of our sins. Let me read you some verses that prove that conclusively. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus is saying, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. Sometimes people call this program and say, Pat, you're preaching against sin, but we all sin. Now that, they're right if they mean by that, we all sin, therefore we all need to improve. But that's usually not what they mean. They usually mean this. We all sin, therefore it's okay to sin. No, when we sin, we have to regret it, repent of it, or we will be lost. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. So if you don't repent, if you just say, but everybody sins, I can keep on doing that, those sins, then you're going to perish. You're going to be lost. In Acts 3:19, Peter told his audience that day, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So repentance is involved in becoming a Christian. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. In other words, if you don't repent in becoming a Christian, your sins won't be blotted out. If you think I can become a Christian without repentance, you're sadly mistaken. Acts 17:30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He commands all men everywhere to repent. When it says that God at one time winked at ignorance, I don't think he's saying he overlooked sin and they got by with sin and they were just forgiven anyway. That's not what it's saying. You notice the context and what's going on in other passages in the Bible, like Romans 1. People got so involved in sin, like, for example, the Gentiles, that he gave up on them. God gave up on them. It's not that they were forgiven in their sins. God gave up on their sins. They gave up on them in their sins. That's the sense in which God winked at their sins. But now he's back to in full-fledged, he hadn't given up on anybody. He's trying to, full-fledged Jews and Gentiles, trying to get them to repent. In Acts 18:21, says, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he'll surely live. He shall not die. Huh. What's that say? It says you gotta turn from your sins. Gotta turn from your sins. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. Let's notice that verse again. Now, that's Old Testament. If the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he surely live. He shall not die. That implies if you don't, if the wicked won't turn from his sins, he won't be forgiven. He won't live spiritually. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is in the context of God putting off the second coming of Christ, because everybody's fate will be sealed at the second coming of Christ. Whether you're in a, if you're in a saved relationship with Christ, at the moment Christ comes, you're going to be saved eternally in heaven. If you're lost, if you're in a lost state, unsaved state, when Christ comes, at that moment you're going to go to the bad place and you live there forever. You don't get any second chances, because everybody, their fate is sealed at the second coming of Christ. God keeps putting off the second coming. He's long-suffering. He's patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, you got to repent to avoid perishing. If you're living in sin, you're going to be lost unless you repent. 2 Corinthians 12:1 says, I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. So repentance is not just saying I'm sorry for not being a Christian. You need to do that. But you have to repent of sin. You have to repent of sin. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Now, we were talking about Acts 3:19, how that you have to repent to become a Christian. Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. That was written to a Christian who sins has to repent of his sins to be forgiven. So even if you have become a true Christian, nobody lives perfectly. Hopefully we'll sin a whole lot less in the future after we become a Christian than before, but nobody lives perfectly. What do you do when a Christian sins? Got to do the same thing as what a person has to do to become a Christian. He's got to repent. If a person is a liar, he's got to repent of lying. Thayer, a very famous Bible dictionary, defines repent this way. To change one's mind for the better, heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. That is, conduct worthy of a heart changed and abhorring sin. So Thayer, defining repent, you change one's mind for the better. You start hating sin. I think Matthew 21, 28, and 29 illustrate the oft-given definition for repentance, a change of mind leading to a change of action. I'm turning to Matthew 21, and here's how 28 and 29 reads. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go to work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. He repented and went. He wasn't going to go, but he repented and went. You see, repentance there was a change of mind leading to a change of action. We got to repent of our sins. To become a Christian, we got to repent of our sins to be forgiven. And after we're a Christian, when we sin after we become a Christian, we have to repent to be forgiven. One last passage, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's talking about becoming a Christian. If you want to get forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost in becoming a Christian, you have to repent and be baptized. No doubt about it. You got to be baptized for the remission of sins. A lot of churches teach you don't get baptized for the remission of sins. You already get the remission of sins before you're baptized. They're wrong. You don't get the remission of sins till you're baptized. But it's not enough just to get baptized. You got to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. If you don't repent, it's not going to do any good. You're just getting wet. Repent means you're going to change your mind leading about sin, leading to a change of action. Let me give you some for examples. Before I do that, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. For example, what if you steal? Maybe you're a shoplifter, or you steal. Well, Ephesians 4:28 says, Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, here's the thief. Let him that stole steal no more. So what does a thief got to do to repent? He's got to quit stealing. He's got to let him that stole steal no more. He's got to quit stealing to be forgiven for stealing. You can't just say, I'm sorry for stealing, and keep on doing it. That's not a change of mind that leads to a change of action. What about a homosexual? Somebody that practices homosexuality. Romans 1, 26 and 27 says, For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. So that verse clearly shows homosexuality, the lesbians in verse 26, the gay men in 27, both of those types of homosexuality are wrong. What would a person have to repent of homosexuality? Because he's got to repent to be forgiven. What would he have to do? Well, he's got to turn from it. He's going to have to quit being a homosexual. Sometimes people ask me, can a homosexual be forgiven? Well, no, if You mean, can he continue practicing homosexuality to be forgiven? Yes, if you mean, can he repent and get forgiveness of that? There's only one sin that can't be forgiven, even if you repent, and that's a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, Matthew 12, 31 and 32. Every other sin can be forgiven if you're willing to repent, but it does require repentance. That's what we've seen in this lesson. You've got to repent to be forgiven of your sin. Any sin, what does it mean? Repentance, Matthew 21, 28 through 29, is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. A homosexual is going to have a change of mind about that, and it's got to lead to a change of action. He's got to quit that sin of homosex. Well, directly connected to that is the sin of gay marriage. Matthew 19, 4 and 5, Jesus, talking about Jesus, it says, he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Marriage is defined by God as between male and female. So there you have it. Scriptural marriage is male and female. The homosexuals argue Jesus never said anything against homosexuality. Well, really, he did. He says marriage has got to be between male and female. You know, the old cutesy saying is right. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Now, what does repenting of being in a gay marriage mean one must do? Because you got to repent to be forgiven. We've already established that. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Acts 8, 22. You got to be forgiven, you got to repent. What does it mean for somebody in a gay marriage? Well, we all know they're going to have to terminate the gay marriage, right? They're going to have to get, they can't just say, I'm sorry, God, for this gay marriage, but we're going to stay in it. That's not repentance. That's not a change of mind that leads to a change of action. A change of mind that leads to a change of action, if you're in a gay marriage, you'd repent of that, means you're going to terminate the marriage. You're going to get out of that unlawful sexual relationship. Well, the same thing is true about an adulterous marriage. Of course. Of course. If a homosexual marriage is wrong and you got to terminate that, then of course, adulterous marriage is also wrong for the same reason, and you got to terminate it for the same reason. Just like a polygamous marriage, a man's married to three wives. He wants to do what's right. He wants to repent and get forgiven of that because he's violating 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2, by having more than one wife. He's going to have to get rid of the terminate the last. If he's married to three women, he's going to have to terminate the last two. But let's talk about adulterous marriages. Adulterous marriage for a minute. In Matthew 19, 9, Jesus said, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Huh. Here Jesus is saying, if you, first part of that verse is saying, if you put away your wife for any reason other than fornication, marry another, you commit adultery. Now, adultery is something done in the bed, Hebrews 13, 4, Matthew 8, verse 4. They caught the woman in adultery in Matthew 8. It wasn't catching her in some kind of ceremony. They caught her in bed with another man that wasn't her husband. So here's Jesus is saying, if you divorce your spouse for any reason other than fornication, that's what he says. We may not like that. We may want to argue against it, make up some other possible exceptions, some other reasons that we can get a divorce, some other extreme things. But Jesus said it's only for fornication, Matthew 19, 9. And if you do that, marry for any reason other than fornication and marry another, you commit adultery. And whoever marries her, which is put away, the divorce woman, if they marry her, they're committing adultery. So according to Matthew 19, 9, then if you divorce your spouse for any reason other than fornication, remarry, or if your spouse divorced you for any reason and you're remarried, you're in adulterous marriage according to Jesus. And what would repenting of being in an adulterous marriage mean what one must do? Can you just keep on committing adultery with that second wife? No, an adulterous marriage would be the same as a gay marriage. You have to terminate it. Remember, repentance, and you got to repent to be forgiven. Repentance means a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Matthew 21, 28 and 29. If you're in an adulterous marriage, a second marriage, where you're committing adultery with that woman, the second wife, every time you sleep with her, that's basically the idea, you have to terminate that relationship if you want to repent of that and be forgiven. Now, I like to say Matthew 19, 9 states the facts of the case, while Romans 7, 2 and 3 states the reason. Let me read Romans 7, 2 and 3 in a minute. But before I do that, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877 855-675-6755. 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open if you have a Bible question or comment. Here's Romans 7, 2 and 3. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So I'm bound or obligated to Carol as long as she lives. So even if the state of Alabama gives me a divorce of Carol for, say, incompatibility, and even though the state of Alabama said it's okay to marry Betty, now I'm married to Betty, it's still adultery because I'm still bound or obligated to Carol as long as she lives. Romans 7 is telling us why what Matthew 19:9 said is true. If I divorce my wife for any reason other than fornication and marry another, I commit adultery. Why? Because I'm still bound to that original spouse. I'm obligated to her as long as she lives. If you're in a second or third marriage, and it's not a scriptural marriage, it violates Matthew 19:9. You didn't divorce your spouse for fornication, or they divorced you. You have to get out of that marriage. You have to terminate that second marriage. You can't stay in adultery. Repentance means you got to get out of that adulterous marriage, just like repentance means you got to get out of a homosexual marriage. Illustration, Mark 6, 17 and 18. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now, secular history tells us that Herod had divorced his wife. Herodias had divorced her husband. Now Herod's married to Herodias, and John the Baptist challenges that. He said, it's not lawful for you to have her. What is John the Baptist saying? Is he saying, well, this is regrettable, you shouldn't have done that, but now it's okay for you to stay in that marriage? Is that what John the Baptist is saying? No, he said, it's not lawful for you to have her. He's saying, if you want to be right with God, if you want to be lawful, you have to get out of that marriage. Well, Ezra 10, 10 and 11. And then verse 44. Well, here's Ezra 10, 10, 11. This is Old Testament, of course. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now, therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure. And separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. And then 44 says, all these had taken strange wives and some of them had wives by whom they had children. Now, the first few verses of Deuteronomy 7 had basically said you can't marry any woman from any of these seven foreign nations because the reason was given, they'll lead you into idolatry. Some people had violated that. Some of the Israelite men had violated that and married women from those seven nations. Well, Ezra 10 is saying, you got to separate from those wives. You can't just say it's regrettable, that divorce is regrettable, but I can stay in that marriage. That's what most denominational preachers will tell you, and even some gospel preachers will tell you that. You can't just stay in that second marriage, you know. It's just like in Hebrews 10, excuse me, Ezra 10. They had married in violation of God's law. They had married some people, some ladies, women that God said not to. And God said through Ezra, you got to separate from those wives. Even some of the men had married these women, had children by these women, still had to separate, still had to leave these wives. The same thing is true in the New Testament. Different law. It's not necessarily wrong to marry somebody from China, but it's wrong to marry somebody who's been married before, unless they got a scriptural divorce. Or it's wrong to get married to somebody else if you've been married before, unless you got a scriptural divorce. And the only scriptural divorce is for fornication, Matthew 19:9. So notice the people written about in the book of Ezra had to separate from those wives they had no right to marry. And that's the same thing we find in the New Testament. If you marry somebody, if you didn't have a right to marry, or you married somebody that didn't have a right, you want to repent of that. And of course, you got to repent to be saved, to be forgiven. You're going to be lost if you don't repent. Well, repentance means you got to terminate the marriage. That's plain and simple. It's true. If you got to terminate polygamous marriages and homosexual marriages, then of course, you're also going to have to terminate adulterous marriages for the same reason. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. A fellow named Les called into this Sirius XM radio program on July 28, 2024 and said, I knew that I was marrying another man's wife, that is a divorced woman, and I didn't know what to do about it. but we did it anyway. He knew he shouldn't do it. It was another man's wife, but he did it anyway. I married her. I'm still married to her today. Because I married another man's wife, I actually excluded myself from being a person in the ministry, is what he was talking about. Now, he thought he was okay with God. He thought he could be in this adulterous marriage and be okay with God, but he couldn't be a preacher, is basically what he's saying. Well, I appreciate the fact that you don't want to preach the gospel if you're a hypocrite and living in adultery, but you're not going to go to heaven that way. It's more important to go to heaven than it is to be a preacher. He said, the gift that I have is I have the gift of prophecy from the Holy Spirit. He claimed he had the gift of prophecy. And that's what a lot of people claim. This guy claimed to have the gift of prophecy, yet he's living with a woman. He's married to a woman he has no right to. Even he knew it was an adulterous marriage, that he was marrying another man's wife. But he still thinks God's going to give him the gift of prophecy. People are deceived. And that's the way many denominational people approach it, approach sin. It's okay with God and the congregation for members to live in adultery as long as they are not the preacher. Huh. It's not okay with God. You can't go to heaven that way. You got to repent of that sin. Repentance means a change of mind leading to a change of action. If you don't repent, you will not go to heaven. Patrick from New Jersey, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, thank you very much. First of all, I want to thank you. You have an excellent radio show. Always listen. I'm new to Christianity, and I'm going through the Bible, and I see that certain things, like, for example, homosexuality and things, you say it's prohibited. God says it clearly in the Bible. But then I find that there's certain things that he says, for example, the way we eat or things that us Christians don't keep. Why is that? And now how do we know when we keep it, when it's for us Christians and when we just think to ignore it? I'm just trying to understand that.
Are you talking about the things like in the Old Testament, the dietary laws, like don't eat pork or don't eat catfish?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, there's two different, and you may have heard, if you listen to my program a number of times, I talk quite frequently about how there's two different laws or covenants. The Old Testament law, Genesis through Malachi, only the Jews were under that law. Us Gentiles, I assume you're a Gentile, were never under that law. Then Jesus came, and nailed that law to the cross, Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Now we're all under the New Testament law, the law of Christ. We're not under that old law that said don't eat pork and catfish. As a matter of fact, you'll remember that God gave Peter a vision in Acts 10, showed him some unclean animals and told him to eat because they were clean. He said, I've cleansed them. I've cleansed those animals. Now, Hebrews 7, 12 puts it pretty succinctly, Patrick, about the difference in the laws. But there's a lot of verses that say this. But Hebrews 7:12 says, for the priesthood being changed, there's made of necessity a change also of the law. When you change the oil in your car, Patrick, that means you drain out all of the old dirty quarts and you put in four brand new clean quarts. You don't put any of the old oil back in, right?
Yeah, I understand that. No, I'm just asking more like, what is the reason that certain ones we do still keep and certain ones we don't?
Well, because if it's in the Old Testament, it's simple. If it's in the Old Testament, we don't have to keep the animal sacrifices. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised anymore. No. You can work on Saturday. You can eat pork and catfish. That's the Old Testament. We have to keep. Somebody said there's over 1,000 commandments in the New Testament, and we got to keep every one of them. New Testament, Christ's law. We don't have to keep the law of Moses, though. Does that answer your question?
So why would, let's say, homosexuality still be prohibited?
Because the New Testament says it's wrong. Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. The New Testament, the law of Christ, says that it's wrong in two or three other places also.
Right. I was just trying to understand you. What is there a specific reason why he only took some and said it's still wrong?
Patrick, I'm going to call you, try to call you later. I got to go off the air. Now, what if a church you attend accepts homosexual marriages or gay marriages, adulterous marriages? 2 John 9 through 11, whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So if we're part of a church that accepts adulterous marriages, a man divorces his wife for a reason other than fornication and marries another, and he's considered a faithful member of that church, he's accepted, this says, we're encouraging him in that sin. We become a partaker in their evil deeds. So we need to find a church that does not accept adulterous marriages. If You want to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. Thank you for listening tonight.